Welcome to Futures Radio Show, sponsored by CME Group and Trading Technologies. For more information on the show, visit us online at futuresradioshow.com. Now, here's your host, Anthony Crudelli.
Hello, everyone. Anthony Crudelli here, and welcome to episode 88 of Futures Radio Show. Today, we have a special guest on the show. He's the founder of the Bear Traps Report, author of a New York Times best-selling book titled A Colossal Failure of Common Sense, The Inside Story to the Collapse of Lehman Brothers, and a CNBC contributor. His name is Larry McDonald. Today, Larry talks to us about how the recent shift in presidential polls is contributing to the recent volatility in the stock market and what he sees from here on out. He further explains how the political race will affect the U.S. Federal Reserve policy and ultimately affect the markets. We discuss the remainder of 2016 and what's in store for rate hikes, and also how the leverage system is affecting oil prices. I really enjoyed this interview with Larry. He shared a ton of great insight. Please listen closely and enjoy this episode. Larry, welcome to the show.
Pleasure to be here.
Well, it's great to have you on the show today, Larry. Now, you are a first-time guest, so I'd like to start off by asking you to please give us your backstory. Tell us how you got started in the industry and what led you to do what you are currently doing today.
I started off in the 90s on the retail side of the business and really wanted to work my way over to the institutional side of the business. In other words, go from trading with retail investors to institutional investors. I got my big break in the late 90s. A friend of mine and I, we started convertbond.com, which is the first website in the world that focused on convertible securities. We sold the website to Morgan Stanley, and that was a big break. We would have been better off creating a dating website or something like that, but we were dot-comers, and it was an amazing time. That got me onto the institutional side of the business. I worked my way over to Lehman Brothers, and I ran one of our distressed businesses, which was a substantial business of distressed debt. And then worked my way from there. I wrote the New York Times bestseller about the fall of Lehman. The book is now in 12 languages. It's a strong New York Times bestseller, and we've sold about 450,000 copies globally. I've delivered 130 speeches in 16 countries on systemic risk and risk management and political risk.
Thanks for sharing, Larry. I'm really excited to have you on today, not only because I've been a fan of yours for years and watching the great work that you put out, but really because of what you said to me this morning on our phone call before we started to record. You said to me, "Hey, Anthony, it's markets finally reacting to a possibility of a Trump win for the presidency." And you said to me that you think that the market could now be taken down another 10% or more from here. So my question to you is, what makes you believe that the reason the markets right now are heading lower is because the possibility of a Trump presidency?
Well, it's really the shift in expectations. So 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, it was really a slam dunk that Hillary was going to really run the table. And now we've seen these health issues with Hillary Clinton. And I think behind the scenes, they're a lot worse than you think. And Trump has moved to the center. He's making a lot of grounds with in terms of issues very positive for women. And he has had a number of very positive weeks. So you're seeing Trump improve. And also the uncertainty of a Hillary Clinton illness, which potentially could be very damaging. And all of this just brings into the fold the uncertainty. Like, the market wasn't expecting a Trump presidency, and now the market's getting kind of a shock that Trump could become the next president.
Well, I have to say, Larry, this is the first time that I'm hearing of this reason as to why we had a decent down move recently in the stock market. I mean, there's been a lot of talk about a possible rate hike in September, which I pretty much firmly disagreed with, or the ECB and Draghi failing to put forth more stimulus, causing markets to see the end of the road when it comes to stimulus. I was really kind of in that camp, and also because we had 44 days in a row without a 1% move in the S&P, and we just broke out of its range, so there were some technical reasons as well. I was kind of in that camp as well. So hearing this from you was very interesting, to say the least. Now, can you take this a little further than just expectations shifting from Clinton to Trump? Is there something else that you're seeing in the political realm that would also add downward pressure on the markets? And if you could also talk to us a little bit about the bond market.
Well, first of all, one of the things I tweeted, and you can look at my tweets, but if you look at two-term presidencies, so the exit of a two-term president. So Nixon, Eisenhower, Nixon, Reagan, Clinton, Bush. All of those two-term presidencies, when you have an exit of a two-term president, we've had on average 18 to 20% drops in the stock market shortly thereafter. And that's because of the uncertainty of the new administration. And it's very consistent. We've seen it over the last 40 years. Secondly, I agree the Fed has something to do with it, but remember, the new president's going to choose the next Fed chairman in 2018. So this Fed is full of doves. It's a very accommodating, market-friendly Fed. If a Trump presidency brings in a dramatically different Federal Reserve in 2018, so it's those are the powerful dynamics going on. Secondly, it's the bond market. The bond market has sold off globally. Yields are 30 to 40 basis points higher on treasuries, Japanese and German 30-year bonds. And the prospect of a Trump presidency and the leverage that he would support, the fiscal spending that he would support, is shaking up the bond market as well. So we're seeing dramatic, it's not just stocks that are selling off, bonds are selling off as well. We've gone from, on the U.S. 10-year, we've gone from 1.38% on July 6th, 1.38% to 1.68% today.
Yeah, absolutely. We've been seeing, you know, the market go lower with the bonds, and then also we've been seeing oil also go lower, and you and I were talking about this a little bit as well, and how you had mentioned to me that the leverage of the system tied to commodities and emerging markets is having a major impact on oil. Can you please explain to us what you mean by that?
Okay, when you have a Federal Reserve that doesn't allow the business cycle to function, and that's what we have, you have a situation where normally with the way cycles work is when you have ups and downs and you just don't have 8 years of continuous debt issuance. So what's been happening in the oil sector is because the business cycle hasn't functioned and because the Fed has kept rates at zero for so long, they're not allowing the business cycle to function. They're trying to keep the bubble going. The oil companies globally that normally would have either been out of business or seriously wounded, these guys are allowed to stay alive. And guess what? They have a lot of debt. And when you have a lot of debt, you've got coupons that must be paid on those bonds. So what happens is you have, because of the Fed keeping interest rates so low for so long, you have a supply problem with oil globally. And as oil prices rise, the supply comes back on very hard. And that's why you have a supply problem globally. So net, they haven't allowed the business cycle to function. The supply of oil globally is a big problem. And every time oil prices rise, then you have more supply and equals lower prices.
Great insight, Larry. Thank you for sharing. Now, I want to pick your brain a little bit before we get into our rapid fire segment. We talked a little bit about the Fed, but I want to know what you think the Fed is going to do the rest of this year. I mean, let's face it, the dots have failed. I mean, the dots said, I don't know how many, was it 3 or 4 rate hikes this year? We know that that's not going to happen. And we've heard a lot of back and forth, dovish talk, hawkish talk. So, Larry, what do you see the Fed doing the rest of this year?
Okay, so there's two things here. Number one is the Fed probably doesn't raise rates at all. But they what's happening is they're trying to get one in. So they told us at the beginning of the year they would have four rate hikes, and as you mentioned, the dot plot speaks to that. So the Federal Reserve told the world they would have four rate hikes. A number of highly respected people globally, Larry Summers and a number of people, have been critical of the Fed. And what's happened is the Fed, it's very tough for them to go from four rate hikes to zero. So I think what's happening is they're trying to talk up the economy. They're trying to help Hillary Clinton. The Fed is a very leftist Fed. So they're trying to get a rate hike in by talking up the economy, and that's shocking the market. So in the end, they won't get a rate hike in, but they will try to get one in, and that's what's happening now. Between now and the end of the year, the appearance of them getting one in will rise. That creates a risk off in the market, and that risk off in the market prevents them from actually hiking.
Yeah, very interesting. Now, I want to touch a little bit about you talking about the leftist Fed. And I know that you recently put out a tweet mentioning that one of the Fed governors, I believe, was, I don't know, contributing to her campaign or doing something to just support Hillary Clinton. Can you talk to us about what that was about?
Well, it's okay if a Fed governor supports a president verbally, but it's banana republic disgusting for Fed governors to be writing checks to any presidential candidate. And we have a Fed governor that has written three checks to the Fed. Three checks to Hillary Clinton this year, $18,000 in recent years to all Democratic presidential candidates, and three checks to Hillary over the last year, totaling $2,700. It's corrupt. This is the anti-establishment vein that Trump has tapped into. What kind of country do we have with Fed governors writing checks to presidential candidates? It's corruption. It's unnecessary, and it's bringing out. It's just one of many, 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 many things that are bringing out supporters for people like Donald Trump.
What Fed governor was that?
Brainerd.
Brainerd, the one who came on yesterday and rallied the S&P, and everyone was like scratching their heads. And I even said I said, this is going to be a super short term, you know.
This is a very leftist Fed, okay? You've got a Fed chair that is a former labor market economist, okay? You have a Federal Reserve in Jackson Hole that had for the first time met with very, very left-wing political leaders, activists, community organizers. These left-wing community organizers are basically telling the Fed, don't raise rates, keep the punch bowl filled up. We need to keep the punch bowl filled up to create jobs, and they don't care about asset bubbles. Community organizers are not very good risk managers. And that's the problem that we're dealing with now, is asset bubbles have built up too high, and we've been listening to community organizers for too long.
Fantastic insight today, Larry. I really enjoyed hearing your take on how the election is currently affecting the markets. Really awesome stuff. So, Larry, now are you ready for our rapid-fire segment?
Yes.
All right. What's your favorite book about trading or the markets?
David Einhorn's Fooling Some of the People All of the Time is the best book I've ever read on the markets and understanding risk, understanding companies. It's a splendid book, and it's written by one of the most amazing asset managers in the history of the markets, David Einhorn, and that's Fooling Some of the People All of the Time.
What's your favorite movie or TV show about trading or the markets?
In terms of trading, it would have to be Trading Places. I mean, it's just they do one of the best jobs of describing the commodity markets, describing supply and demand, and it's just a lot of fun, and I watch it at least once or twice a year.
right? Every time it's on, you can't turn it off, especially when it's around the holiday season. It's on, you're watching.
That's right.
What's the best piece of advice you've received about trading or the markets?
J.P. Morgan said in 1907, there's nothing in this world which will so violently distort a man's judgment more than the sight of his neighbor getting rich. And to me, that's the most important thing is when you're watching people make a lot of money in the markets and people are getting rich around you, that's the time to raise cash. Buy fear, sit in the boat, wait for fear, and put money to work.
If you can give a piece of advice to the young people interested in getting involved in trading, what would it be?
Well, I think it comes down to, you know, life is a long time, right? So the more clear a definiteness of purpose you have at a young age and setting goals and where do you want to be in 5 years? Where do you want to be in 10 years? Where do you want to be in 15 years? But it's that definiteness of purpose when you spend a lot of time going down one direction with one path with a definite purpose and a plan, you avoid the pitfalls that a lot of young people have of going down 5 or 6, 7 different roads, you know, wasting 8, 9, 10 years on different avenues. It's the people that end up at the top are the people that are the most focused and the most driven at a young age down one direction.
Great stuff today, Larry. I know you're a busy man, so before I let you go, is there anything else you'd like to add to today's show?
I think that we had a Federal Reserve, a Fed President Lockhart decided to step down today. I think we want to look at, you know, is this a potential dissension within the Fed? One of the things that's happening is the Fed is clearly blowing up asset bubbles. Governments today, in 2008, the problem was the banks were highly leveraged. Today, governments are highly leveraged, and the central bankers are creating that leverage in governments. They are enabling that leverage in governments. So I think we want to keep an eye on dissension within the ranks in the central banking sphere.
Where can people learn more about what you're doing on a day-to-day basis, Larry?
The Bear Trap Support. We now have 1,000+ subscribers globally, and it's the best letter in the street that helps people understand not just the stock market, but credit markets and how credit risk impacts stocks.
Thank you for coming on the show, and I look forward to having you back on the show in the future.
All the best. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to Futures Radio Show. If you enjoyed the show, please rate us and leave a review on iTunes. For previous episodes or to discuss and comment about the show with myself or my guests, please visit us at futuresradioshow.com. Don't forget to become a premium member today for free by signing up to our email list.